I think those things are wildebeests. Does anyone know what those are called? Wildebeests? Okay, yeah, you should know. All right, so those are pretty cool little animals. I like them, but there's something funny about trust. Like, trust is a funny thing, isn't it? Like, that whole thing, did you guys catch what was going on there? You see the little bubbles over their heads, like, it's a log. No, it's a crocodile. You guys understood that perfectly, right? Like, the language, y'all got, yeah, okay. I don't know what language it was, but I got the clouds. I can read pictures well, and I got what they were trying to do. And it's, trust is a funny thing, right? They're looking out and like, is that a log? It's like, no way, bro, it's not a log. It's like, it's a crocodile, it's going to eat us. And if you guys kind of think through trust in your life, what things that you trust, what things that you're putting your faith into, here's what you're going to find out, okay? The things that you trust will determine the things that you do. The things that you trust will determine the things that you do. And so if you guys remember, we're still in the book of 1 John, and we're chapter 2 tonight. And one thing John is really wanting us to walk away understanding is, how can I know that I have saving faith in Jesus Christ, that my faith is genuine? And so this concept of faith and trust is a big deal because the gospel is about trust. And so as we talk about trust, and it's kind of like this weird thing, like, how do I know if I'm really trusting in something? How do I know if I'm really putting my faith into something? And John's going to tell us tonight that the things that you trust will show up in the things that you do. And so I had this buddy who, he was a prankster. Like, he was a crazy dude. He's one of those guys that, like, you're scared to go out in public. You're scared to go out in public with because he's always going to do something, like, totally weird, kind of like Pastor Titus. Like, you never want to go to. The first time I met Titus, okay, check this out. This is a totally side story. But the first time I met Titus, I went to lunch with him and the pastor at the time, who was the head pastor. They took me to El Toucan's. And, like, as we, like, are walking in El Toucan's, like, we get sat down by this waitress. And she disappears for, like, 20 minutes. It's, like, so long. So Titus decides what he's going to do is he's going to jump out of the booth and fall on the ground and scream and just start like throwing his hands around like he hurt himself so that when the waitress walks by, she like trips over him and like serves us. That's our head pastor. That guy right there is who we're trusting to teach us the Bible. But it was like, he's a nutcase. And so this was a friend like that, right? This is one of those dudes who does crazy stuff. Like, I've seen Titus jumping around in a bunny costume from like here over to church, like a total bunny costume. Like, he's just a crazy guy. This is one of those guys, okay? And so we would go to the mall. And this friend of mine, they do it on YouTube all the time now. You can just like look this up. There's people on YouTube who do this, but this was like pre-YouTube. This guy would go up to people and just look at them in the mall, total strangers, and just say, "I trust you," and then turn around, put his arms out, and then just fall. Never did anybody catch him that I saw, like ever. Like, the dude always hit the ground every single time. And so like that, you can see guys do that on YouTube right now. Like, it's hilarious when they do that stuff. But the thing is, like, there was a solid truth to that. Like, what he was doing was hilarious. I laughed every time, mostly because his head would hit the ground. You're an idiot. But the part about the trust kind of hit me. Like, he would never have actually like, well, he would because he's nuts, right? He would. But, like, would you turn around and just, like, fall? Just, like, straight up and just let yourself slam against the ground if you didn't trust that the person behind you is really going to catch you? If you guys done that in sports teams, it's like the cheesy sports team thing to do at, like, sport camp. They're like, all right, everybody, trust fall. Get up on the bleachers and jump. And, like, people die, especially when it's, like, a linebacker jumping and the rest of the team. There's, like, a receiver, like, I'll catch you, squish, and Morgan dies. Like, it's crazy, right? Sorry, buddy. Some big guys, right? I would squish you. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You have to trust in order to do. Like, I'm probably not going to jump off that thing unless I trust that people are really going to catch me. So my trust is determining my actions, the things that I do, the way I behave, the decisions that I make. And so what John wants us to know is not that your actions or your behavior can save you ever in any way. Following Jesus, doing good things like Jesus, going to church, reading your Bible, those things are awesome things. But they can't save you. But what does happen is when you really do believe Jesus, when you really do trust Jesus, those are the things that stem out of it. Those are the actions that change because your trust is in Jesus. And John wants us to see that tonight. How many of you guys were at See You at the Pole this morning? Did you guys even know See You at the Pole was this morning? Where you go out and you pray at the flagpole at your school? Some of you don't even know what that is. Let me tell you. Once a year, there's a national day where everybody in public schools, all schools, go out. They meet in the flagpole before school, and they all pray around the flagpole for their country and their school. Well, that was today, so a lot of you missed that. Some of you guys, I saw Edgewood. Hey, raise your hand if you're at Edgewood. You were there this morning. Dustin, yeah, there you are, bro. There's a bunch of Edgewood people. There were like 50 kids at the Edgewood one this morning, somebody told me. I didn't count. I looked up. There's a lot of kids. It was awesome that people would say, hey, I believe in Jesus so much. I trust Jesus so much that I'm going to show up to my flagpole in front of all these teachers and all these parents that are driving by and all these other students who might not think Christianity is a cool thing. And here I am. It's my trust in Jesus is going to determine my courage that I have to stand at this flagpole and pray and say, I believe in Christ. So awesome for those of you guys, man. I'm so proud of you for those of you who showed up. And the rest of you, mark it down in your calendar. Look it up for next year, and we'll try to remind you, get out to your flagpoles and pray. Stand up in your school and say, like, I believe in Christ. And you guys can do that every week by going to FCA. You guys can do that every day just by living for Jesus in your classroom. All right? So we're going to read together 1 John. We're in chapter 2 tonight. We're starting chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. You guys read along with me. It says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. Zach taught you guys that word a little earlier, right? There's that word. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says I know him but doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Are you ready? Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So John starts off and you're like, why is he calling them little children? He says, my little children. But John's talking to believers. He wants you to know that what he's saying here is for a Christian, someone who actually has taken their faith and their trust and they placed it in Jesus. And John's an old guy by this point, too, don't forget. So he's looking at this young church of people, and he's like, my little children, like those who believe in Christ, I want you to be confident that you're saved. I want you to be able to look up and wake up every morning and know that you have true saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so here's a test that you can put yourself through and kind of look and say, am I truly believing in Jesus? Is this a real thing in my life and in my heart? And he says, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, remember last week we talked about this thing called confession, right? We talked about sin and how like these people were going around to the church and they're like, man, I don't have to worry about sin. I can do whatever I want to my body because they believed that the body was like worthless. It didn't really matter. And the only thing that mattered was your spirit. So you could do whatever you want in your body. Sin was fine. And John's like, wait, no. God looks at you as a whole. God has called you to be holy like he's holy. Jesus has lived a life that he modeled for you to live like him. And he says that sin is a big deal to God. It's such a big deal that Jesus had to go to a cross. That Jesus had nails driven in his hands and feet. The Son of God himself stepped out of heaven to die for you and me because sin is such a big deal. And these guys just wanted to hide their sin. And he said, it's just staying in darkness. You don't want people to know. You even want to hide it from God and yourself. And he says, but the true thing is, if you really follow Jesus, you'll be willing to confess it, to drag it into the light and say, look, God, I admit that I've sinned against you. And you can't truly be saved until you realize that you're a sinner. Man, it's so hard to say today. Like, if you walk up to someone and call them a sinner, you're probably going to get punched in the face. People don't take well to that word sinner. They don't even like the word sin. But Jesus looks at us and says, you're buying into the same lies that these people did 2,000 years ago. Because sin is a true offense to a holy God. who loves you and created you, and it matters so much to him, his son died over your sin. So he says, what I want you to do is confess it. Bring it to me and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive me and to save me. And so what John's saying is, I'm telling you all this so that, ready? So that you don't sin. So the goal of all this is that you would believe in Jesus and that you wouldn't have to sin anymore. Does that mean like, oh, Rob, you're saying I could be perfect? Like at some point in my life, I'll never sin again. I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, from what I see in scripture, on this side of heaven, it's going to be a constant struggle for us against sin. There are going to be days where I fall. There are going to be days where I mess up. But the difference here is that, check this next part out. But if anyone does sin, he says, I think we can all raise our hand. Like, talking to me, aren't you, John? Like, that's me, because I know I struggle. I know I'm broken, and if it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't have a choice. I'd just be stuck in sin. The Bible says I'd be a slave to sin, like chained to it. I'd have no other option but to sin all the time. But because Jesus said, I'm going to die for you, now I can choose Jesus instead of sin. So he says, so if any of you do sin, if you're struggling with falling and with being broken and hurting, it's like, join the crowd. There is something awesome for you still. Because I know you might mess up. He says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You guys know what an advocate is? An advocate is like basically a defense attorney. It's someone that comes to court with you and stands there in front of the judge and the jury. And he says, look, I'm standing here for you on your side to plead your case. And that's you and me. As we have sin, as we've rebelled against God, we stand in front of God and we're guilty. And God's like, you're not holy anymore. You're actually my enemy. You've rebelled against the King of creation and you're standing in front of me. And Jesus steps in and says, wait, hold on. Look at me. I'm taking his place. Jesus does this awesome thing and he advocates for you and me. He says, God, don't put the punishment on Rob Jones. He's trusted me. And so instead of putting punishment on Rob Jones, I'm standing in his place. Let me be his advocate. Let me plead his case for his sin. And I'll just tell you, knowing that, as a sinner standing on this stage right now talking to you, knowing that Jesus does that for me, man, I just say, thank you, Jesus. I could do nothing else but look at him in awe and go, why would you do that for me? Jesus, why would you take my place? This perfect Lamb of God, and here I am broken, unworthy. And you're stepping in my shoes? Like, what are you doing? Thank you, Jesus. He says, if anyone does sin, that's what Jesus does for us. If you're believing in him, if your belief in Jesus and your faith in Jesus has saved you, then Jesus is standing there going, I'm your advocate. My righteousness is what God is going to see. My perfection is what God's going to see when he looks at you, and no longer is he going to see your sin because I took it and I went to the cross with your sin all over me. I became sin for you so you could become righteousness. And now when God looks at you, you know what he sees? He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees perfection because of Jesus on you. And then he uses this awesome word that Zach helped us understand a little earlier in verse 2. He says, he is the propitiation for our sins. You see, as you're standing in that courtroom, God looks at you in your sin and he passes judgment. It's called the curse. And that judgment has to be fulfilled. It has to be satisfied. And so propitiation means a completely satisfied. It's totally fulfilled. So that judgment that God would place on you as a sinner, Jesus steps in and says, I'm going to pay it. I'm your propitiation. I will substitute myself in your place and pay that for you. And sometimes when I think of substitutes, I think like you get like the not quite so good version. You know, like sometimes we think of like the Patriots, because we think of the Patriots all the time, don't we? Like, it's just the greatest team in the world. So I think of the greatest player who's ever played football in the history of the game, Tom Brady. And I think how Tom Brady got his start, right? Like, so you think, like, here's Bledsoe just, like, stinking it up on the field, totally being horrible, ruining the Patriots, driving them into the ground, and then he gets hurt. And all of a sudden, when he gets hurt, we're like, what are we going to do? Oh, no, all we have is Tom Brady sitting on the bench. You know, like, what are we going to do with Tom Brady, the substitute in place of our great quarterback, Drew Bledsoe? And so he looks over and goes, the coach says, hey, Brady, get on the field. We got nothing else. You know, and we have that thought, well, greatly enough, Brady gets on the field and now five Super Bowl rings later, right? Bam, he was awesome and he is awesome. So you guys should follow him and they're going to play Sunday. So anyway, right? It was such a good upgrade, right? What if I said, hey, I'm leading worship tonight, and you guys are like, oh, no. And then, like, I get sick, right? So I need a sub. And so David Crowder comes and leads worship, right? Some of you guys are like, who's David Crowder? Come on, listen to Christian music. Man, Lecrae, all right? Lecrae comes. That's an upgrade. That's so good. It's so much better than Rob Jones. But so often we have this idea in our heads that something that substitutes for something else isn't quite as good. It's not quite as good. Your substitute teacher comes to class, you know they're not really going to teach. You're going to sit there and throw Cheetos all day long, right? They're not as good as your real teacher. But that's not the case here. This is a Tom Brady scenario, but way better. Way better. Here's you, a broken sinner, standing in court, and God's passing judgment, and your substitute that's going to stand in for you is so much better than you. He's far better than you ever could imagine to be. Jesus says, I'll take your place and I will pay for this sin. And he said, not just for you, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Do you know that your Savior, Jesus Christ, is big enough that when he died, he paid for every sin ever committed and that will ever be committed? Because he's infinite, the price he paid was also infinite. Now it's up to you to accept that free gift that's already paid for if you receive it. How crazy that we would look to God and deny something that's already paid for. Something that's already been done. And you're like, no, I don't want it. I'd rather stand here and take this judgment from an infinite God. And Jesus says, I'll be your substitute. Verse 3. He says this, and by this, we know that we've come to know him. Are you ready? He's going to tell us what this test is, if we keep his commandments. And you're like, wait, what commandments? Like all those commandments from the Old Testament? Where they're like, hey, like if you have to go to the bathroom, go outside the camp and use the bathroom. Don't go to the bathroom in the camp because it's gross. Like that was a commandment of the Old Testament, right? Like that was one of the laws. And that like you can't eat like certain things. You can't have a chicken and an egg. So if you were to like take fried chicken and batter it with like an egg and then put some batter on it and eat that, unless you're a vegan, you'd never do that, right? But if you are a meatitarian like me, you would do that. But you couldn't do that because now like that was against the Jewish law. Like, are we talking about those? Are those the commandments? All those crazy things that they had? No, Jesus basically wrapped it up in two things, didn't he? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And so when he's talking about the commandments, if we keep the commandments of Jesus, he's saying, give everything that you are to God. And love the people around you the way you love yourself. Now, is he saying that's how you get saved? If you do those two things, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor the way you love yourself, then you'll be saved. No. What he's saying is, if you truly have trusted in Jesus to save you, those things will happen in your heart. They're called evidence. All of a sudden, as I trust Jesus, remember that trust fall? Remember those two little wildebeests? Like the trust fall deal? If I really trust you, then I'll make the fall. I'll take the plunge. If I truly trust you, all of a sudden I'm going to start to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength because I trust you. If I really trust in Jesus, I'll love my neighbor as myself. See, it's this fruit that comes out of us when we actually do love God. So that's why it's a test that John says, look at your life. Are you doing that?
Does that describe you tonight? As you sit here and you're like, Rob, I do believe in Jesus. And each week I ask you guys the same questions. Is there anyone here tonight that has not accepted Jesus as their Savior? And if you'd like me to pray for you, will you raise your hand? And so many sit and they think about it and they never raise their hand. But inside they're wondering, like, should I be? Is that me tonight? Have I ever truly trusted in Jesus? Well, then here's the question for you. Has it changed you? Has Jesus changed your life to the point where you're like, God, take all of me? I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love my neighbor like myself. Is it starting to change you? I'm not saying, are you perfect? Don't get me wrong. I'm not asking that. I'm asking if you're starting to see signs of growth in your heart to love God and to love other people. And if that's not true in you, then maybe you should be raising your hand at that time and saying, look, I thought I was saved. I thought I had done these things, but there's never been a change. I'm still loving sin just as much. I don't see anything different about my life. Then I want to tell you, according to John's test, you need to pray. You need to think about that. Like, maybe tonight is the night where you need to raise your hand and say, look, I want that. I want tonight to be my trust fall. I want tonight to be the night where I place all my trust in Jesus so he starts to change my life and I actually start to look different and transformed. Have you ever seen, anyone ever seen The Matrix? You seen the movie The Matrix? Like a couple of you? So it's this awesome movie where like these people are actually inside a computer. It's so cool, but they don't know it. And then they wake up and they're like, I'm in a computer. And so anyway, it's sweet. But before this guy wakes up, he gets this phone call. He's in his office like building. And there's people coming to get him and he gets a phone call. And on the phone, they're like, bro, if you trust me, do what I say. And he's like, what? They're like, okay, whatever. And he looks out and he sees people coming after him. So he has no choice. So he like, the guy's like, stand up now and run. So he's like, should I? I don't know. Should I? And then he like gets up and he starts to run. And then there's like a guy at the end of the hall. He's like, take a left. And he's like, takes a quick left. And he starts doing all this crazy stuff. Everything the guy on the phone tells him to do. And he ends up at this window and he's on like the 70th floor of this huge building. And the guy's like, step outside the window. He's like, what? And he has this like breakdown moment of like, I don't think I can do this. This is so crazy. I don't even know you. I don't even know this guy on the phone. But you know what? The guy had been right all along. So something happened in this guy's heart who's standing at the window. He's like, you've been right about everything else. So I guess I better trust you. And that trust changed what he did. It caused him to step outside in faith. That's what I'm asking you tonight. Has Jesus been that for you? Have you reached a point where you say, I actually trust you enough to step outside in faith? Not just to say things, because here's what John's about to tell us. Look at this next piece. Whoever says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. He's not trying to be nice. Like a lot of times what we hear from John is like love, and he's so kind, and he talks about all these like really nice things. John is like the guy who uses love more than anybody else in the Bible. But here, this is really weird because John's actually getting a little crazy. And he actually calls people liars. He's using this really forceful term to say some people are going around saying they know Jesus, really know him, but they're not changing. They're not doing what Jesus does or what Jesus asked them. So how can they love Jesus? He says those people are liars. Now, this part makes me nervous a little bit. I need to confess that. Because we live in a place, in a culture, where being a Christian is this like accepted thing. It's almost like this cultural thing for us to do. Yeah, like I have to claim to be a Christian because that's how my granddaddy and grandpappy, or whatever, grandmommy and I don't know, however Southerners say it, my grandmother and grandfather raised me to be. My mom and dad raised me to be a Christian, so our family is a Christian family. But that doesn't mean you've ever believed in Jesus. That just means that you identify with it because your family's done it. And in the South, where we are right here, is this like cultural thing that says like, you are patriotic, you are a country, you are a tailgate partier on Sunday night, and then Sunday morning you go to church and confess it. We sing the songs, you guys know what I'm talking about. That is such a pervasive message that we hear everywhere. This idea that I'm just Christian because I live in the South, because I went to a Baptist church. I'm asking you a different question, so don't hear that. I'm asking you if you've truly trusted in Jesus Christ with your entire life. That's what John wants to know tonight. Because there's a lot of people that lie and they say, yeah, I know him. I grew up in a church. I knew him. I'm a good Southerner. I'm a good patriot. I'm a Republican. I'm all these things. So I know Jesus. John would look at those people and with love in his heart, he would say, you're a liar. You are a straight up liar. Because when you actually love Jesus, your life will change. My mom used to test me and things like that. Like at dinner time when I was little, you know, has your mom ever done this? You'd be eating and like you're done with the peas and the carrots and stuff. And you're like, oh man, I'm still full, mom. Like, oh, it was delicious, but I'm done. Like I pushed my plate away. So she'd walk over and pull out this big like chocolate cake and be like, oh, that's unfortunate. You know, like, because I got this big chocolate cake right here. And fat boy's going to be like, what? Like, I want some cake. And she's like, well, then you're not really done eating, are you? Right? You're actually still hungry. If you're hungry enough for your dessert, you're hungry enough to eat this. It's this interesting thing that we do. We claim one thing but never live it out. Don't be that with Jesus. Don't claim Jesus and not actually truly have the change of Jesus in your heart. Because it's not real. We're walking around in lies. And John says, hey, listen, confess it. When you have this sin, confess it and bring it into the light. Look what he says next. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in this way he walked. If you say you're abiding in Jesus, what he's saying is that like you're going to sin, you're going to mess up here and there. Till you reach heaven, you're not going to be totally perfect, but there's going to be a difference in your life where you're abiding in Christ. Whereas as you sin, now you have the Holy Spirit that says, hey, Rob, you shouldn't have done that. And God says that he wants to discipline his children, those that he loves, to grow them. And that's what's happening is this Holy Spirit that you got when you truly believed is going, Rob, why'd you do that? And you listen. And he brings you back to the feet of Jesus where you confess and say, I repent of that. But if you're living a life where you don't ever experience that, you're like, I believe in Jesus, but I'm sinning and loving it. I don't feel convicted about this. I don't go back to Jesus' feet and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. You just love it and embrace sin, and there's not a change. Then John would look at you tonight and say, look, I need you to look at your heart. Because if you really say that you believe in Jesus, there's going to be a change in you. I want you guys to pay attention. There's a video I want to show you of a kid who's going to share his testimony with us. And it's about this very thing we're talking about. Look up here.
I didn't really get serious in the church until probably late middle school when I really started focusing on God. Pretty much, like, life started getting hard as far as temptation and sinning and stuff like that my freshman and sophomore year in high school. That's just how it was. I was introduced to new things, alcohol, drugs. Started getting more interested in girls than I was. I still call myself a strong Christian, but I got like a more serious girlfriend than I had in the past. And of course there was problems with like sexual sin and stuff like that. And then from there, that just opened a gateway for me, I guess. It started out with just fooling around with my girlfriend, and then it got into sex, and then it got into alcohol, and then it got into marijuana. Like, I started out, okay, I'll do this small sin, and that's fine as long as I don't go any further. And, of course, I kept telling myself that until eventually I sat down and looked at my life, and it wasn't anything near what it should have been. And it was going to parties every weekend, smoking weed every weekend, getting drunk every weekend, having sex with girls every weekend. It was just not where I would have saw myself a year ago. All kind of relationships changed. I wasn't close with my friends as I had been. My relationship with my girlfriend deteriorated. Even like home life, my parents, I resented them. I didn't like to be around them. I didn't like to talk to them. And even as far as my little brother, I started setting a very bad example for him. Being labeled as the partier guy that still goes to church on Wednesdays, really, like, a lot of guilt was associated with that, and I felt bad about it. And, like, I'll be having fun partying Saturday night, and then Sunday night I'll be feeling like a dirtbag and repenting for my sins alone. It would be like a Thursday or Wednesday, and I would be like, okay, Jacob, don't smoke weed this weekend. Don't get drunk this weekend. Like, I was like, you can't do that. God doesn't want you to do that. That's not what you should do. And then it'd come around, and it'd be like, oh, well, I'll do it this weekend, and then God will forgive me, and then I won't do it next weekend. I thought, hey, I'm in high school. I can do whatever I want, and then maybe when I get older, I'll become a Christian again, and I'll start living for God again. But right now, I'm going to do what I want. The guilt from that was pretty bad, and the guilt from that sometimes still is really bad. A lot of temptations are keeping me from completely handing my life over to God, because even though I know that smoking weed or drinking alcohol or having sex isn't what I should be doing and is really sinful, it's like those are things that for a long time I enjoyed. And still, even though they're sinful, I enjoy those things, and that's really, like, it's really, really hard for me, and it's something that I think I'll be struggling with, hopefully for 2 months longer, but as of right now, it's still hard.
The cool thing about his testimony is his honesty. Like, this guy's at the point where he's able to say, like, this is God, like, this is where I'm at. And so the one thing I want to ask you guys, as the band makes your way back up here tonight, will you just think of something? Are you willing just to be honest with God tonight? Wherever you're at, whatever that looks like, whatever your life is right now, will you just be honest with God about it tonight? I want to ask you guys, will you close your eyes for just a second as we finish up? And just take a second to be honest with him and maybe ask God, like, Lord, will you show me where I'm at? Like, don't talk to each other. Don't bump your neighbor. Just you and God right now for a minute, okay? God, like, show me if I'm truly trusting in you tonight. And ask him if, like, am I actually, like, following you because I trust you? Is my life changing because of it? And here's the part that I promised you earlier, and I'm just going to ask you again tonight. If you're here and you're like, man, that is me. You hit it right on the head. Like, I've never truly trusted in a way that's changed me. My trust hasn't changed the things that I do, and I haven't been living for Jesus. I don't think I've ever been changed. And tonight I want that. I want Jesus to be my propitiation, to be my substitute, to forgive my sins so I can be right with God. If that's you tonight, will you be bold enough to raise your hand up so I can pray for you and say, like, man, that is me. I need to accept Jesus. I need Jesus to come in and to save me and to change this thing. Thank you for being honest. You guys can put your hands down. And maybe you're like, hey, I do believe. I've had that experience with God where I've given him everything, but I'm like this guy in the video, and I need to just bring my sin before him. Remember, John said, if you do sin, there's something awesome for you still, that Jesus will be your substitute. He's already paid for it. So if you bring your sin to him and you confess it, he'll forgive you. And if that's you tonight and you're like, man, I believe in Jesus. I believe I'm saved, but I haven't been living it. And I've got some sin that needs to get dealt with. I need to just pray with somebody. Will you raise your hand up tonight and be honest and say, like, that's me. I want to just pray. I want to be forgiven. I want to live hard for Christ. Pray for me, Rob, that I can be courageous with that. Raise your hand up and just say, like, that. Will you pray for me for that? Keep your hands up for 1 second, because I want to ask our leaders to just look around and see if you're in their group so they can pray with you tonight. And I want you to leave here without praying with somebody. Leaders, will you just look around and see if those are your guys or girls? So before we continue to worship, let me pray for you right now. Let's ask God for strength to be serious about these things that we're saying we want to do. Father God, we don't deserve Jesus. We don't deserve forgiveness. And so we're so incredibly thankful that you still freely give it. Thank you for convicting our hearts tonight, Holy Spirit. I pray that you continue to do that throughout this week. That as even as we leave this place, Holy Spirit, that you'd be talking to our hearts. That you'd be continually be showing us the sin that's taken root in us. That we would ask you for forgiveness. That we take it and lay it at your feet. God, we want you to forgive us. We want to be made right with you. We want our trust and our faith to be lived out in obeying your commandments. Jesus, I pray for courage. Put courage in the hearts of these people that have raised their hands and those who still haven't yet. Father, that we would follow hard after you and live out the faith you've put in our hearts. Be with those who raise their hands to say they want to accept you as their Savior. Lord Jesus, I pray. God, I pray that you would be their God, that they would be confident in the fact that they have a Savior who has died for them and forgiven them of their sin. God, we love you and we lift this all up to you. Will you hear us now as we worship you? Will you hear us cry out with this last song how much we love you? And will you watch our worship as we live it out throughout this week? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.